Now for something completely different. The Buffalo Police Commissioner unexpectedly retired this week. One day, Daniel Durenda was on the job. The next day, he wasn't. Jim Heaney and his staff at Investigative Post, specifically Daniela Porat, have been following the ups and downs of the Buffalo Police Department for a while now. And Jim joins me now from Buffalo. Happy New Year, Jim Heaney.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Jim is the founder, editor, executive director of the Investigative Post. And boy, you sound happy today.
Why not? It's, you know, the snow is horizontal today, and I got windburn on my face.
I was totally being...
A little bit of frostbite. It's another day in paradise.
I guess so. So, Jim, usually when somebody pulls a Sam Hoyt, there's more to the story than meets the eye.
Oh, I would not put Dan Durenda in the same category.
All right, so there's nothing, no Hoytian intrigue here then.
No.
All right, well, what happened?
good question. Just the fact that it was so sudden, or at least, you know, the announcement was so sudden. I'm assuming, or at least I'm hoping that he gave the mayor some sort of heads up, or maybe the mayor gave him a heads up. I mean, it raises a question as to whether, you know, it was a quit or resign, or in this case, quit or retire scenario. But I really don't know. I mean, it's just the way it was handled is rather curious. And given all the controversy that's swirling around the department these days, it makes you wonder anyways.
Well, tell us, about what happened. Did he just, like, send out a press release, I'm done? Or was there a press conference? What happened?
There was a press release sent out. I think the major announcement, the Buffalo News did a very favorable profile on him announcing his retirement. So the news obviously had some type of heads up. But the mechanics, there were rumors going around a couple of days ago that he was gonna step down. But it was just a rumor mill, and then press release went out and the story hit the paper, and that's how it got handled.
All right. So the force has been under some stress, and you've written on your blog at investigativepost.org, quote, "This much is certain, Durenda leaves behind a police department that is, well, kind of a mess." So how so?
Well, I guess for starters,
I've missed you, by the way. I really have. I'm glad you're back.
Well, for starters, two men of color in the last year have died in exchanges, shall we say, with Buffalo Police. One gentleman was confronted by police. Had what the coroner later established was a fatal asthma attack, but the circumstances around the stop and how it exactly unfolded, it was investigated by the state attorney general's office. They concluded it was asthma, not any direct action by the police that did it. But it's very interesting that the two officers most directly involved in the matter refused to cooperate with investigators. I think that's interesting, shall we say.
You have said in the past on this show that Buffalo may be ready for, I mean, not ready, but, you know, in line for a Ferguson.
Well, yeah, I think the last time we brought it up, I said we may have actually had two of them in the last year, and that involving Wardell Davis is one. There was someone else who was fatally shot by police in May. The family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the city. The police have changed their version of events several times. Claims that the dead man had a gun that was never found. Claim that one of the officers was shot in the ear when it turned out he wasn't shot in the ear. That's also under investigation by the state attorney general. And then in October, you had a police officer, a trainee in the underwater recovery unit, drown on a training exercise. That's also under investigation. And there's questions as to whether or not he drowned in what appears to be rather swift currents in the Niagara River. And there's some question as to whether he had sufficient training to be put in those waters and whether the dive was adequately supervised or not. So, you know, you've got those to begin with, and then you've got the reporting that Danielle has done over the last year and a half, that the department has not been trained, at least at the time of the story ran, and it's unclear as to whether or not anything's changed since then.
But they're crying out for more training and things like de-escalation.
The head of the police union said they want it. You know, police departments across the country the last two or three years have gone heavy in the training officers in how to de-escalate potentially volatile situations to avoid Ferguson-type situations. And Buffalo Police, as of the time of the writing of Danielle's story, had not undergone that department-wide. So you've got that. You've got a lack of accountability. The department's internal affairs unit, which investigates claims of police misconduct, clears officers in excessive use of force complaints in excess of 95% of the time. Daniela did this fall on the strike force. Strike force is a specialized unit created by the mayor to fight gangs and street crime. And Daniela documented through court records how these officers, many of these officers, not all, but a lot of them, engage in illegal searches that judges subsequently find to be unconstitutional.
Is this the group that said, you know, we can do whatever we want, basically?
Yeah. And the public record bears that out. Defense attorneys, you know, have called them cowboys and folks who are not respecting the Constitution in the way they go about their business. So, and then you've got another state attorney general investigation going on based on a complaint filed by a group based on a study that was done by the law schools at UB and Cornell that are claiming discriminatory police practices. So you've got a lot of scrutiny on the department in the face of some pretty high profile problems.
Yeah, and now there is no leader. Dorenda is gone. So who is in charge temporarily, and how are they going about looking for a replacement?
Good questions. The news had a headline this morning. One of Duren's deputies has been appointed, at least on an interim basis. How the mayor is going to fill the position in the long run, I don't know.
So it is the mayor's pick, and does the Common Council have to confirm?
Yeah. And when Dorenda was hired, I was at the Buffalo News time, and I remember doing a pretty involved story looking at that process. And let's just say the mayor did not exactly break a sweat. He claimed it was a national job search, exhaustive search, but it wasn't. I don't expect that the mayor is going to, you know, the mayor has been in a state of denial over problems in his police department. I don't expect he's going to own up to those problems by trying to change the leadership at the top in a way that brings someone with some reform chops in. I mean, you'd like to see it, but that's not the way this mayor operates.
So I was going to ask you what you think the fix is for the police department, but it sounds like the fix is somebody at the head who has some interest in reform.
I don't know everything there is to know about the Buffalo Police, but based on the reporting we've done, and, you know, I've lived in the city most of my adult life. So I see things and I hear things. And you know, there are a number of good cops who are trying to do a good job, but I think there's a cultural problem to begin with. Actually, there's a lot of different cultural problems. You've got a, for example, you've got a labor contract which puts a premium on seniority, for example. So when officers or detectives want to get assigned to the homicide squad, which has a terrible track record of late solving homicides, seniority plays a role. It's not necessarily who the commissioner thinks is the best candidate for the job. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, including seniority. So
it's unionized, and the same complaint can be said about teachers and superintendents.
Yeah. So you've got a union that has a lot of say at the expense of management rights. But you've also got a culture. I mean, the minority community here, I'm sure opinions range all over the place within the minority community, as it does the white community. But a local organization did a survey within the last couple of years asking about community attitudes, and fewer than half of the Black respondents said they trust the police when confronted with an emergency. There's a great deal of distrust of the police because of what some officers are engaging in very heavy-handed tactics in the inner city.
Well, it's all trickle down, like police brutality. Not a lot of trust because in the public, trust between officers and the public is low, and therefore you have a low clearance rate. So nothing is going well.
Yeah, and Buffalo. I said in my piece today, all this would matter a little bit less if Buffalo was this safe little city where the cops caught the bad guys most of the time. But Daniela has worked on a story that has yet to see the light of day that looks at FBI crime stats, and of cities its size, Buffalo is one of the most violent cities in America. Police clearance rate is about average, which is to say, more often than not, violent criminals, perpetrators are not apprehended, and so we do not have we don't have what you could consider to be a terribly effective police department when it comes to catching the bad guys, or for that matter, maybe preventing the bad guys from acting in the first place.
So you've got a
problem on your hand, and you've got a mayor and a common council that don't want to hear about it.
So is it time for a more muscular police oversight committee? I mean, is there is a citizens review committee, right?
Well, it's pretty impotent. No, it's not even that. The council has a police oversight committee that was established a couple of years ago. The problem is that they really, how can I put this on a family radio station? they don't want to know. They don't want to know nothing, Susan. Okay.
All right, okay.
They don't meet very often.
Head
when
in the
they
sand.
Do, pardon?
Head in the sand?
Yeah. I mean, when they I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, Steve Brown from WGRZ and I did a piece on the poor track record of the homicide squad solving murders. And the police oversight committee met, I don't know, a month or so later. And now you'd think when the city's investigative reporting center and the number one ranked TV station does a story that basically calls out the homicide squad for not solving murders. When the police oversight committee got together, they asked the commissioner a few questions. Steve and I get to the meeting. It wasn't even on the agenda for discussion.
All right. So it's not something that they're not paying attention. We're running out of time, but I want to make sure that people know that they can read your blog for free and sign up for your weekly email newsletter. And all you need to do is go to investigativepost.org/subscribe. Jim Heaney, founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks, okay?
Very good, Susan.
Stay out of trouble.
No way.
Bye.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.